Hello and welcome to another episode of The Functional Nerds. My name's Patrick Hester. I'm an author, a blogger, and an all-around functional nerd. And John, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, go.
I am John Anilio. I write songs about science fiction, fantasy, and other nerdy things. You can get my new EP, the Books, Bytes, and Bots EP, which has songs about George R.R. Martin and Steve Jobs and porn bots and unicorns and all sorts of other things. You can get that over at johnanilio.bandcamp.com, and you can pay what you want for it, including free. This week, we also have on functionalnerds.com, we have a lot of cool things going on there, so make sure you go and check that out and subscribe to the Functional Nerds website. Lots of cool reviews and other things up there. What is going up on the functionalnerds.com site, Patrick?
We have a movie thing on Philip K. Dick from Paul Wimer.
Hmm.
We have a review from John Ginsberg Stevens. We have a review from Paul Wimer, and we have a review from James Gates. I don't know if all of those are live yet, but they're all sort of kind of scheduled.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yep. This week on the show, we have, Andy Romain. I think we pronounced his last name Romain. We haven't actually interviewed him yet. We're going to in a few minutes, so we're doing the intro first. He's known as @InkGorilla on Twitter. Andy is our booze nerd. Yep. He writes the awesome booze columns that we have on functionalnerds.com and does a great job with those, and he's a writer. I got to know Andy at World Fantasy. He has a story in Rigor Mortis. I got him to World Fantasy when I played the Rigor Mortis launch party, and so he's become a good friend and a good friend of Functional Nerds, and we were happy to have him on the show tonight. We will be happy to have him on. Oh, it's all time dilation, Patrick. It's so confusing.
it's timey-wimey, wobbly-weebly stuff.
Yeah.
We're so clever. It's like Stephen Moffat wrote this episode.
Absolutely. Well, we hope you enjoyed this this talk with Andy. And on the line with us tonight, we have Andy Romain. Andy Romain is a writer. He has stories published in several different anthologies. He is also the Functional Nerds booze nerd. So we decided to sort of shine a spotlight on one of the folks that have been writing some great content for our site. So Andy, say hello.
Hello. How are you all doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for joining us tonight, Andy.
You spent some time in Texas, and now you're saying y'all.
Well, I'm actually from Memphis, so y'all comes pretty naturally to me. So,
Andy and I met at the World Fantasy Convention in Columbus, Ohio, this past October. Patrick was there too, but I don't think Patrick actually met Andy. If he did, it wasn't for very long.
I didn't get invited to the Rigor Mortis thing.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. as folks of the pod, listeners of the podcast probably know by now, because it's been brought up in a couple episodes, I was asked to write a song for the Rigor Mortis collection, just as a way to help promote it. And because then I was at World Fantasy, I performed it at the reading and the launch party for it. And I believe I went on right after you read your story, Andy. I think that's exactly the order that it went in, if I recall correctly.
I think that's right. And it was the highlight of the Rigor Mortis event. It was fantastic. So thanks for bringing the music to Rigor Mortis, because we needed that.
Oh, no problem. It was really funny though, because I, for people that haven't been to a lot of cons, there are a lot of these events take place in the ballrooms and things like that. And a lot take place in the actual hotel rooms or in the suites and stuff. So, James Gates, who is one of the editors of Rigor Mortis, had asked me to come and do it. So, I'd spoken to her, a couple times about doing it. And, so the day of the event, I, had my guitar and I was sort of in the hallway of the hotel, outside the room, and I peek in and I see Andy, and I tuned up my guitar real quietly in the hallway, and I see Andy reading his story, and it's eliciting quite a response.
it seems to do that. Yeah,
I think didn't the hotel staff run out of buckets?
I'm not going to confirm or deny that.
Well, Andy, well, you know, while we're on that, before I finish the rest of that little anecdote, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about the story that you have in Rigor Mortis?
Sure. It's called Take It Off. And it's about everybody's favorite subject, zombie strippers. When I first heard about the anthology, there were kind of two things that I never thought I would write. One was erotica, and the other one was zombie stories. I mean, just, you know, zombies have been done so many times and so well by so many other people. I thought, I don't know what
No pun intended there, right?
Yeah. No pun intended. They were done very well by a lot of people in this anthology, but. It was irresistible to write about this, and so I had to bring, I don't know, a little bit of sardonic humor or something to it. I had a hard time writing it straight laced or whatever, but I just had this sort of random idea about a zombie stripper who, you know, without trying to give too much away for those of you out there who haven't read it yet, a zombie stripper who's pretty happy with being a zombie, and unlike a lot of zombie stories, is not mindless, is not just an eating machine, that she has wants and needs and sort of has to live her own life, and so in the story there's sort of a challenge to that, and this is about how she overcomes that. So yeah, it was a fun little story to write, and I'm really, really, it's been awesome to be a part of the collection. It's so many talented authors, and Erica and Jane just assembled a great collection, great anthology.
It's great. I was really happy to be a part of it, and it was funny. So I'm watching Andy reading a story and getting this reaction from the people there that were listening. And it's funny, if you're on the outside of these rooms, I was able to look in and I saw, you know, what looked to me from my vantage point to be, oh, I don't know, maybe 15 or so people crammed into this room. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. You know, small little crowd to play this song for. So Andy finishes up and he comes out, and then Jame introduces me, and I walk in ready to go and did not realize that it was a suite. There was another whole room there. So it was more like 40 or 50 people in there. So yeah. It was like a little like, oh, okay. This is a big crowd than I thought I was going to perform. So it was like a little bit jarring because I wasn't expecting that many people there.
And they jam a lot of people into those rooms when they have these things.
They do. It's just about a requirement, you know, to fill every free inch of space with people. And It was a good time. If you were nervous or startled, it sure didn't show. So.
Oh, thanks. Well, you know, and it was fun. And this kind of leads us to how you sort of became the booze nerd for Functional Nerds. Basically, what happened was later on, not at one of the parties. I don't remember which party it was. I don't know. Was there an actual Rigor Mortis party later as well?
I think we were kind of wrapped up in the Edge and Absolute Express event that you played at. But there were plenty lots of parties. So
yeah, because it was later on, because I did that performance at the reading, and then Patrick and I and John Donato and a couple other folks went out to dinner with Mike Resnick, and then when we were done with that, then I went back to one of the parties and got to talking with a lot of you folks, and essentially Andy was in a very spirited discussion with I forget who you were talking to, but you were talking about martinis. And you were very very passionate about your opinions on martinis, and I turned to whoever was there, I forget who, and I'm like, what are they talking about? And then you were like, then you kind of gave me the whole spiel on martinis and about like what is and is not a martini, and I just sort of filed that away. And then you know, when we started thinking about having some contributors, I'm like, well, Andy knows a lot about booze. I bet he would want to write some booze stuff. So why don't you tell us a little bit about – sounds so funny. Why don't you tell us about your interest in booze?
Yeah. Well, my association with alcohol is purely professional. And no, I never had been a really big drinker, and I'm still not. I mean, I believe, you know, in having a cocktail or two at a time, you know, and every now and then. And you know, I had some friends who were really into cocktails. They had had some training and some connections to the professional mixology world, as they say. I think that's what bartenders, you know, the more, I guess, higher-end bartenders call themselves in the movement these days is kind of mixology. And but anyway, I had these friends that were really into it, and we won at an auction a basket, a cocktail-making basket, and it included some lessons from them. And these were these friends of mine, Chuck and Wes, they were kind of, they were, you could go to their house and get a cocktail menu. My wife and I went over there a few times and had these amazing cocktails, and it really piqued my interest. My wife is a food writer and trained as a chef, so we sort of had this food component going in our house already. And so I just was drawn to cocktails because it's kind of like alchemy, you know. You can mix all these different ingredients and get these completely different drinks. Sometimes even the same ingredients in different proportions, you'll get a completely different experience. It doesn't hurt that the drinks taste good and that you feel pretty good after having a cocktail. But I just became very interested in the history, and I wanted to know more about, well, you know, why did people put this. You know, why did people develop bitters? Why were bitters in gin? Or, you know, the story of the gin and tonic is probably a fairly, the myth of the gin and tonic, for example. You know, gin is pretty tasty, and quinine is not. And so, you know, in India, the legend goes, or the story goes, that the British in India needed to take their quinine powder, and they kind of drown it in gin and tonic to make it taste better and that sort of thing. I just became interested in the little bits of history like that. And so to me, that really, it wasn't just about having a drink and getting a nice little buzz or having an evening out with friends, but it also for me became kind of this real interest in what led to that drink's creation and all the similar drinks that in that family and just really experimenting and trying as many as I could. I think my first real drink that before that I'd had whiskey sours and everybody at 7 & 7s, rum and cokes. I mean, to me that's what cocktails were, and I just didn't give them much thought until I had my very first cocktail at our friend's house, a Corpse Reviver No. 2, and that's partially why I chose to make that my first entry, because it was the first cocktail I had that really opened my eyes and said, "Wow, there's more to this than just drinking."
You know, Andy, my family has a long and storied history with alcohol. I'm an Irish hillbilly. And so, obviously, my dad's side is the Irish side, and they drank a lot of alcohol. And, of course, my mom is from Kentucky, and so we have a long history there with homebrew and the revenuers.
Sure.
But I loved your first piece. I love when people delve into the history and you know, why did someone decide to start doing this? You know, that kind of stuff always fascinates me.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, and I love that you take that approach with the articles, is to really get into the historic component of it, because I think, most of the people that contribute to the site, and Patrick and myself, and, you know, I think even most of the people that listen to our podcast, I think if you're in the arts in any manner, you know, whether you're a writer or a musician or what have you, you know, I think part of that is sort of tying, you know, yourself, you're connected to the past. And it's like, you know, whatever you're doing is built upon what came before. And I think, sort of what it's about people's culture, you know. And I think
definitely,
you know, what people drank is a big part of their culture, you know. I think you can't ignore that part of it. So I find that so interesting, and I think it adds like a nice layer to our site, and I just really, really dig seeing all that stuff. So thank you for doing those posts. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And you know, John, I have a theory about history and time. Essentially, I'm theorizing that someone can time travel within their own lifetime. And so I'm going to build a quantum leap accelerator.
you can kind of travel a little bit with the cocktails. I mean, especially nowadays, it used to be if you wanted to make a whiskey old fashioned, you know, you had a recipe to go to, and maybe it was published in the 70s or the 80s. And of course, you know, starting in the 80s and in the 90s, we had all these various teenies, you know, the apple teenies, the whatever teenies, the pseudo teenies, as I've heard them called. And I think that that kind of spurred some people to start investigating drinks again. You know, for all of the, you can kind of roll your eyes and say, oh, well, that's not a real martini or whatever. But I think people became interested in drinking more than just, you know, beer and wine again. And anyway, back to the point about time travel, it's you mix up a drink that's from a pre-prohibition recipe. And there are a few ingredients here and there that you can't find or that are harder to find, or maybe they're reproductions, but you can come pretty close to tasting what people drank and get an idea of what their tastes are like or were like, rather. I say this with a straight face. I mean, it can be researched to a point if you're writing that story set in the 20s or earlier, to kind of get a sense of what people ate and drank, and that can inform a lot of what you write.
I find it very fascinating because I don't know if I've ever mentioned this at all in the podcast. My mom was a bartender.
Mm.
And she was a bartender for, gosh, most of my life. You know, before I was born, she was a waitress. And then after, she kind of, I guess, moved up into bartending. And so she was a bartender until just about 10 years ago, when it got to a point where they wanted, you know, the young, hot bartenders, and not necessarily the wizened, we'll say, to be kind, bartenders. But I remember, you know, cousins and different family and stuff would always call her up and say, you know, we're trying to make a such and such, but we don't have this. What can we substitute?
Mm.
And she would always come up with something that they could substitute. You know, oh, you want to make a margarita, but you don't have tequila.
Yeah.
She would come up with something for them to switch out, you know, that kind of stuff. So this stuff has always fascinated me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this kind of knowledge is fun to have, you know, when your friends and family ask you, well, what should I drink? You know,
see, it's almost as dangerous as knowing how to fix a computer.
Almost. Probably not as frustrating, though, you know, because I've been there, too. You know a little bit about computers and suddenly everybody thinks you know a lot about computers. And I'm not that good with IT stuff, so I'd much prefer to advise on booze.
Well, I wanted to, you know, we have to keep it relatively short tonight because it's already a little late. So, Andy, the other thing that I wanted to have Andy talk about tonight is that this past weekend he went to the World Horror Convention, which I believe was in Austin. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about your experience there, because it seemed like a lot of people we all know on Twitter and such were there. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, like you said, it was held in Austin. This is actually the first World Horror Convention that I've been to. My con going has only kind of recently started, so I didn't really have anything to compare it to. But that being said, I had a great time. Everything seemed to be running smoothly. There were some great panels. I think, as probably you guys know and all your listeners know, that there's always you're always sort of torn between going to some really informative panels and even the readings, and hanging out with those people that you only get to see a couple of times a year. And so
John's not. He doesn't go to any of the panels. He just hangs out with the people.
Then you've made that choice. For me, I'm still sort of trying to balance that. Because there were a lot of folks that I knew that were going to be there, and I got to, you know, hang out with them and spend some time, you know, with them, which was great. It's always good to see old friends. I made some new friends too. Met a lot of great people. I got to say, Austin's a great town too. Even though, you know, the con is in a hotel out kind of in the suburbs, we managed to get into the city several times for eats and of course drinks, and it seemed like a great venue to have the con. I'd say that probably one of the most interesting panels that I attended, and I attended a few. It was a panel moderated by Molly Tanzer about, is, you know, why keep writing short stories? And there was a lot of interesting commentary, you know, because people are talking about short attention spans and short fiction being dead and all that. But it seems to me, especially with ebooks and the internet and the web, that short fiction is really making a major comeback. So that's pretty exciting to hear people talk about things like that. And I think what I really end up getting out of the cons and is the connection to the other writers and the editors and all the agents and the publishing people who love this stuff and who want to talk about it, and you know, you can launch into conversations about, you know, your favorite artist, your favorite writer, and have a not just a receptive, willing listener, but someone who will engage you in conversation about your passions. And I always come out of the cons very inspired and enthused and ready to keep writing. So
cool. Well, you know, I was thinking about that because I've only been to a handful of cons myself over the past year and a half, and you know, I have to say, I think it's kind of the best thing you can do if you have any aspirations to sort of, you know, get your work published or, you know, whatever you're doing. Obviously, that's not exactly what I'm doing, but whatever we've kind of gotten going with the podcast or some stuff with my music, I can trace a lot of it back to the cons. You know, because, you know, as great as Twitter and Facebook and blogs and everything else is, you know, there's a big difference between that and then actually being in a room with somebody and talking to them and getting to know them as a person. And, you know, that to me has been so beneficial. It doesn't even seem like it at the time. It's sort of, you see the effects of it later. I mean, even just looking at our own site, like half of the people that we have, you know, writing stuff on the Functional Nerds now are people that we met at World Fantasy, you know.
Sure. Yeah. You know. Well, and I got to see Sandra Wickham, the fitness nerd, and John Remy, the food nerd, at World Horror, and we were all conspiring to find a way to merge our columns into one for 1 week. I don't know exactly how we're going to do that yet, but you've been warned.
Okay. And just so you know, James Gates is also sending us some stuff now.
Fantastic.
Just hasn't been published yet.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing it.
It's just, you know, it's so much better. It's so much easier to do that rather than, you know, us just being in a room for a little while. It just makes a big difference. So, you know, if I can advise anybody out there that's sort of doing some of the things that we're doing, you know, go to a con. I know I see a lot of people that will see like, oh, it's expensive. And it can be. But ultimately, I think it's worth it if you're trying to do this. And they're just fun. Just go because it's
absolutely
fun.
Absolutely.
Treat yourself because it's fun.
Exactly. I mean, it can be a working vacation, you know, and then it can be more work, less vacation, or more vacation and less work. But I think, like I said just a little while ago, I haven't been to very many cons yet. I mean, World Fantasy Con, where we met, was my first. Mm-hmm. This is because I had only really gotten super serious about writing in the last couple of years, and to me, cons were always sort of this big kind of, oh my god, I don't know anybody there, and it's expensive, but you know what? Even if all those things are true, I totally agree with what you said. If you're interested in being in publishing, especially in genre publishing, because it is such a welcoming community, I think, that you could go up to Total Stranger at a party or after a panel and actually make a real connection. I mean, some of my good friends met in the elevator, you know, at random. So you never know who you're going to meet. You never know the connections you're going to make. And they could be, you know, that professional, you know, connection with an agent or an editor who suddenly just, you know, wants to publish your stuff. Sure, it could be something like that, but it's more likely to be, you know, connections with other writers and other artists and people who are sort of on the path with you and kind of traveling along the same road. And to me, that has been that's been one of the greatest things to get out of a con is those friendships. And so I definitely agree with you there.
Great, great. Well, Andy, we're going to wrap it up now. So why don't you, tell people where we already talked about at Rigor Mortis, and maybe you can mention where some of your other stories might be published and throw out your website and your Twitter and all that jazz as well.
Absolutely. So Rigor Mortis, obviously, from Absolute Express. You can find that on Amazon and the ebook if on Smashwords. I have a short story appearing right now on Crossed Genres. I think crossedgenres.com. It's called How the Goddess Came to Spring Flowering Alley. That's up for the month of May for their Luck issue. And I have a story appearing in the anthology Broken Time Blues, which is a collection of speculative fiction, kind of with a 1920s spin. Erica Holt and Jane Gates edited that one as well. And it's coming out in August, and I believe it's debuting at Worldcon. So definitely keep an eye out for it there. I blog at andrewpenromine.com. I usually go by Andy, but I sort of have a longer version of my name for all my authorial credits. But
don't forget to tell people about the Ink Punks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've just joined their ranks. I'll be blogging at inkpunks.com. I think starting in June about writing topics and kind of my experience as a beginning writer and joining the ranks of some very talented, very professional, very intelligent people. So hopefully I will add to that discussion and not just post more booze recipes on that site. And you can find me on Twitter at InkGorilla, all one word. I'd love to know, and also obviously on Functional Nerds, the booze nerds. So, you know, I'd love to hear from everybody what their favorite drinks are, and you know, if they've tried some of the recipes that I've included and what they thought of them. It's always great to get feedback, and great to find out what other people are drinking too. Because as much as I've sort of gotten into this and love to read and to make drinks, you know, I'm still kind of learning too in a lot of ways. And I always want to hear more. So,
you know, I'm drinking sweet tea, and I used to drink it just because I enjoyed it. But now that I know that it really bothers James Gates, I enjoy it even more.
You could be getting into some dangerous territory there. I'd be careful.
She's already threatened me with her stilettos.
I was going to say she co-hosts the show sometimes, so, right? So,
yeah.
You have to be careful, so.
She already threatened me with her stilettos. I don't know what more I can do.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Andy, thanks so much for joining us tonight, and we'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. Bye. And we're back. Well, we hope you enjoyed that talk with Andy. Once again, for me this week, I have the Books, Bites, and Bots EP out there. You can get that for as little as free over at johnanelio.bandcamp.com. You can also follow me at twitter.com/johnanelio. Patrick, what do you have going on this week?
I don't know.
Riveting. Riveting discussion.
Well, I put a Netflix post up on SF Signal, but TN Tobias's post completely blew my Netflix post away, so just go pay attention to his. I have a writer's journal where I detail all the good news that I heard from the writers group about my novel that made me squee. So that's up over at atfmb.com, twitter.com/atfmb, all the usual stuff. I mean, it's the whole timey-wimey thing. I never know what's going on. Just, you know what? Every single day, once an hour, open up a browser, go to atfmb.com, see what's there.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. You mentioned the squee thing. I have a couple thoughts on this right now.
Oh, yeah?
You could tell we're doing these before the actual interview because I have more to say. Usually by the time we get to the intros and outros, I'm like, I got to go to bed. I got to stop this.
What are your thoughts on the squee thing?
Couple things. So doesn't squee just sound weird when you write it? You know, doesn't it just seem weird?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I always find that funny that, like, you know, we as grown adults seem to write squee a lot in our Twitters and blog posts and what have you. So that's
John,
one thought.
I just have this to say to you. Colon, closed parentheses.
Right. Yeah. Right back at you. Now, the other thing I was going to say is I sort of tweeted this.
LOL.
boy.
Yeah, squee. I mean, squee does sound silly for you know, grown people to say, but, you know, we got to have our fun somewhere, and they won't let us shoot things anymore.
Well, all of this is silly for adults to do, but it's funny how like quickly I've sort of grabbed it. You just have to express yourself in like these tweets and Facebooking and stuff. And like a lot of times just saying something like that is just the clearest way to articulate it. But I just think it's funny, like especially if, you know, it's like another grown man and like you're just saying silly crap to each other on Twitter. And you're like, I don't think 5 years ago I think I would have been saying something like this, and now it's just totally normal. But it's like, wow, our lives have changed.
You got to remember, John, I studied at the steps of the World of Warcraft University.
Okay.
There is no limit to the silliness that I will tweet.
Yeah, apparently. Oh, and speaking of that, I got together with my college friends this past weekend, and you know, my one friend is kind of a gamer. It sort of became one later in life. And anyway, they were talking there, and we were just like watching a bunch of YouTube videos and stuff. And I'm like, oh, you know what I haven't seen? And my friend Patrick was telling me about it. Do a search for Leroy Jenkins.
Leroy Jenkins.
We had never seen it before. And I remember you telling me about it, but I never saw it. And we were all sitting there with my friend's iPad, and like we watched that like 10 times in a row. And I was laughing so hard that I was like, that like my stomach was hurting, and like I was actually tearing up, because it's just like, I don't know, all of us just thought that was the funniest. And it's really funny. So go throw Leroy, if you haven't, if you were like one of the few people like me who hasn't seen that yet, just throw Leroy Jenkins into YouTube.
Yeah, give me a sec. I'm coming up with 32.33, repeating, of course, percentage of survival.
Well, that's a lot better than we usually do.
All right, chums, I'm
ready, guys.
Let's do this. Leroy Jenkins!
Oh, my God, he just ran in. Oh, my God.
God damn it, Leroy.
It's not my fault.
Oh, God.
Oh, for...
Leroy, you were just stupid as hell.
At least I have chicken.
What's really funny about that is that takes place in Black Rock Mountain. And it is hilarious. And in my friends and I had not yet gotten to Black Rock Mountain when that video was released. But when we did, when we finally got to Black Rock Mountain and we were in that same room and we were planning everything, I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, everybody, just stop. Think about this for a second. Think about where we are. Mm-hmm. This is like it's like become a legendary place. It really mm-hmm. has Black Rock. All those little dragon eggs everywhere. I mean, and oh my God! The first time we went through that, just to go a little gamer on you, the first time we went through that dungeon was such a damn mess. Mm-hmm. Because all you have to do is if you get too close to a dragon egg, all of them start to hatch, and before you know it, you've got like thousands of little dragons coming down on you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just it. It's a fun place, and that is an awesome video. The other one that I would suggest, there are, if you're really into like, what do they call it? Is it Machima? Makimama? Whatever it's called. It's where people take the videos from the video games, like they actually videotape or video them playing the games. Mm-hmm. There's like capture software that lets you capture what you're doing in the game. And they take those and they kind of make films out of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are some absolutely hilarious World of Warcraft films out there. One of them that I want to remember, I think it's like the Torin Brothers or the Brothers Torin or something like that. I think if you go to YouTube and you put in Torin, T-A-U-R-E-N, and Brothers, you'll get these videos. They are absolutely hilarious. Mm. There's another one. Do you remember Manat Manat from
yes.
the Muppets? Manat Manat. Ma-ma-na-na-na. There's one called Raffelmau.
Mm-hmm.
Rolling on the floor laughing my ass off.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it with World of Warcraft characters.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Anyway.
Oh, very good.
I'm glad that you finally saw that.
I did, yeah. It was very good. Very worth the time. But anyway, everyone, I hope you all have a good week, and we will see you next time.
Raffelmau.
The girl curled up in the cryo. Not a stitch of clothing found in signs. Malice tipped off wondering about the doctor. I don't care cause I'm feeling alright. See the tree branch lying on the cool deck. She picks it up, maybe thinks it's fun. Snap us back to now, see the world. Look now, but River's got a gun. Summer Brown, she makes me feel fine. I can't shake her image from my mind. Summer Brown, she makes me feel fine. I can't shake her.